Most of those who believe they should stop find it very difficult to do so. They find it's become a deeply ingrained habit, a habit they can't change just because they want to.
Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Good evening. Hello again, and welcome to the show. Tonight, we continue to look at some famous deaths. Tonight, we start with the wonderful death of Genghis Khan, conqueror of India. Take it away, Genghis.
Nine point one. 9.3, 9.7, that's 28.1 for Genghis Khan.
Bad luck, Genghis. Nice to have you on the show. And now, here are the scores.
Well, there you can see the scores now. St. Stephen in the lead there with his stoning. Then comes King Richard III at Bosworth Field, the grand death that. Then the very lovely John Dark, then Marat in his bath. Best of friends with Charlotte in the showers afterwards. Then Abe Lincoln of the US of A, a grand little chap that. And at number six, Genghis Khan. And the back marker, King Edward VII. Back to you, Wolfgang.
Thank you, Eddie. And now time for this week's request death. For Mr. and Mrs. Violet Stebbings of 23 Wolverston Road, Hull, the death of Mr. Bruce Foster of Guildford.
Struth!
Oh, blimey, how time flies. Sadly, we are reaching the end of yet another program, and so it is finale time. We are proud to be bringing to you one of the evergreen bucket kickers. Yes, the wonderful death of the famous English Admiral Nelson.
Kiss me, honey!
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the second of our Italian language classes, in which we'll be helping you brush up your Italian. Now, last week we started at the beginning, and we learned the Italian for a spoon. Now, I wonder how many of you can remember what it was. Sit down, Mario. Giuseppe.
Il cucchiaio.
Well done, Giuseppe. Or, as the Italians would say, molto bene, Giuseppe.
Grazie, signore. Grazie di tutta la sua gentilezza.
Well, now, this week, we're going to learn some useful phrases to help us open a conversation with an Italian. Now, first of all, try telling him where you come from. For example, I would say, sono inglese de Gerard's Cross. I am an Englishman from Gerard's Cross. Shall we all try that together?
Yeah. Si,
si. Sono inglese de Gerard's Cross.
Not too bad. Now let's try with somebody else. Mr.
Mariolini.
Mr. Mariolini. And where are you from?
Napoli, signor.
Oh, you're Italian.
Si, si, si.
Well, in that case, you would say, sono italiano de Napoli.
Ah, capisco. Mille grazie, signore.
Per favore, yes? Signore. Non conosce il parole, ma signore, devo mi polo sono italiano de Napoli quando vi abitare de Milano.
Ok, stupito.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Signore, my friend is saying...
Bitte, mein Herr. Bitte. Was ist das Wort für Mittelschmutz?
Oh, Helmut, you want the German classes.
Oh, danke schön. Ah, das deutsche Klassenzimmer.
My friend, he say, why must I say, I am Italian from Napoli when he lives in Milan?
Ah, well, tell your friend, if he lives in Milan, he must say, sono italiano de Milano.
Milano è tanto meglio di Napoli.
Che cosa?
Sì, Milano è tanto meglio del mondo.
He say, Milan is better than Napoli.
Napoli. Sì. Oh, well, you shouldn't be saying that. We haven't done comparatives yet.
Yes, Mother's new improved whistle butter containing 10% more or less is absolutely indistinguishable from a dead crab. Remember, buy whistle butter and go to heaven.
I can't tell the difference between whistle butter and this dead crab.
Yes, you know, we find that 9 out of 10 British housewives can't tell the difference between whistle butter and a dead crab.
You're on television, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes. And with those silly women, you can't tell the difference between whistle butter and a dead crab.
Oh, yes. 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 You try that around here, young man, and we'll slit your face.
Yes.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of It's the Arts. We kick off tonight with the cinema.
Good evening. One of the most prolific of film producers of this age, or indeed any age, is Sir Edward Ross, back in this country for the first time for 5 years to open a season of his works at the National Film Theatre, and we are very fortunate to have him with us here in the studio this evening.
Good evening.
Edward, you don't mind if I call you Edward?
No, not at all, fine.
Only it does worry some people. I don't know why, perhaps a little sensitive, so I do take the precaution of asking on these occasions.
No, that's fine.
Sorry, Ed was all right. Splendid. Sorry to have brought it up, Ernie.
No, Edward it is.
Well, thank you very much indeed for being so helpful. Ernie, it's more than my job's worth to go on.
Quite, yes.
Makes it rather difficult to establish a rapport to put the other person at their ease.
Quite.
Yes, silly little point, but it does seem to matter. Still, less said the better. Ted. When you first started in the... You don't mind if I call you Ted?
No. Everyone calls me Ted.
Good. But it's shorter, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, and much less formal.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Ted, Edward, anything.
Splendid. Incidentally, do call me Tom. I don't want you playing around with any of this Thomas nonsense. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. Eddie, baby, when you first
I'm sorry. I don't like being called Eddie, baby.
I'm sorry?
I don't like being called Eddie, baby.
Did I call you Eddie, baby?
Yes, you did. Now get on with it.
Don't think I did call you Eddie, baby.
I didn't call him Eddie, baby.
Did I call him Eddie, baby?
No. Yes!
No! I didn't really call you Eddie, baby, did I, sweetie?
Don't call me a sweetie!
Can I call you Sugar Plum?
No!
Pussycat?
No!
Angel Drawers?
No, you may not! Now get on with it, Frank!
What? Can I call you Frank? Why Frank? It's a nice name. Robin Day's got a hedgehog called Frank.
Franny Nickerson. No, face. I'm leaving. What? I'm off.
Tell us about your latest films, Redwood.
What?
Tell us about your latest film, if you'd be so kind, sir.
None of this pussycat nonsense.
Promise. Please, Redwood.
My latest film?
Yes, sir.
Well, the idea, funnily enough, came from an idea I had when I first joined the industry in 1919. Of course, in those days, I was only a T-boy.
Oh, shut up.
Sir Edward, Ross, now later in the programme, we'll be bringing you a unique event in the world of modern art. Pablo Picasso will be doing a special painting for us on this programme, live on a bicycle. This is the first time that Picasso has painted while cycling. But right now, it's time to look at a man whose meteoric-wise defect...
Last week, the Royal Festival Hall saw the first performance of a new symphony by one of the world's leading modern composers, Arthur Two Sheds Jackson. Mr. Jackson.
Good evening.
May I just sidetrack you for one moment, Mr. Jackson? This, what shall I call it, nickname of yours?
Oh, yes.
Two Sheds.
Yes.
How did you come by it?
Well, I don't use it myself. It's just a few of my friends call me Two Sheds.
I see. And do you, in fact, have two sheds?
No, I've only one shed. I've had one for some time. But a few years ago, I said I was thinking of getting another one, and since then, some people have called me Two Sheds.
In spite of the fact that you have only one?
Yes.
I see. And are you thinking of purchasing a second shed?
No.
To bring you in line with your epithet?
No.
I see. Well, let's return to your symphony. Now then, did you write this symphony in the shed?
No.
Have you written any of your recent works in this shed of yours?
No, it's just a perfectly ordinary garden shed.
I see. And you're thinking of buying the second shed to write in?
No, look, this shed business, it doesn't really matter at all. The sheds aren't important. It's just a few friends call me Two Sheds, and that's all there is to it. I wish you'd ask me about my music. I'm a composer. People are always asking about the shed, but they've got it out of proportion. Fed up with a shed I wish I never got in the first place.
I expect you're probably thinking of selling one.
Oh, we'll sell one.
Then you'd be Arthur No Sheds Jackson.
Look, forget about the sheds. They don't matter.
Mr. Jackson, I think with respect we ought to talk about your symphony.
What?
Apparently your symphony was written for organ and timpani.
What's that?
What's what?
It's a shed. Get it off. All right.
Now then, Mr. Jackson, your symphony. I understand that you used to be interested in train spotting.
What?
I understand that about 30 years ago, you were extremely interested in train spotting.
What's that got to do with my bloody music?
Are you having any trouble from him?
Yes, a little.
Well, we interviewers are more than a match for the likes of you, Two Sheds.
Yes, make yourself scarce, Two Sheds. Yeah. This studio isn't big enough for the three of us.
Get your own arts programme, you fairy.
Arthur Two Sheds Jackson. Never mind, Timmy.
Oh, Michael, you're such a comfort.
Arthur Two Sheds
Jackson.
And now for more news of the momentous artistic event when Pablo Picasso is doing a specially commissioned painting for us whilst riding a bicycle. Pablo Picasso, the founder of modern art, without doubt the greatest abstract painter ever, for the first time painting in motion. But first of all, let's have a look at the route he'll be taking.
Well, Picasso will be starting, David, at Chichester here. He'll then cycle on the A29 to Fontwell. He'll then take the A272, which will bring him onto the A3 just north of Hindhead here. From then on, Pablo has a straight run on the A3 until he meets the South Circular at Battersea here. Well, this is a truly remarkable occasion. It's the first time that a modern artist of such stature has taken the A272. And it'll be very interesting to see how he copes with the heavy traffic round Wisborough Green. Vicky.
Oh, well, Picasso will be riding his Viking Super Roadstar with the drop handlebars and the dual thread wheel rims. And with his Wiley Pratt 20-to-1 synchromesh, he should experience difficulties on these sort of road surfaces they just don't get abroad. Mitzi.
And now for the latest report on Picasso's progress, over to Reg Moss on the Guildford Bypass.
Well, there's no sign of Picasso at the moment, David, but he should be through here at any moment. However, I do have with me Mr. Ron Geppo, British cycling sprint champion and this year's winner of the Derby Doncaster Rally.
Well, Reg, I think Pablo should be all right, provided he doesn't attempt anything on the monumental scale of some of his earlier paintings, like Guernica or Mademoiselle Davignon, or even his later War and Peace murals for the Temple of Peace Chapel at Valerai. Because with this strong headwind, I don't think even Doug Timpson of Manchester Harriers could paint anything on that kind of scale.
Well, thank you, Ron. Well, there still seems to be no sign of Picasso, so I'll hand you back to the studio.
Well, we've just heard that Picasso is approaching the Tolworth roundabout on the A3. So come in, Sam Trenchard, Tolworth.
Well, something certainly is happening here at Tolworth roundabout, David. I can now see Picasso. He's cycling down very hard towards the roundabout. He's about 75, 50 yards away, and I can now see his painting. It's an abstract. I can see some blue, some purple, some little black oval shapes I think I can see.
That's not Picasso, that's Kandinsky.
Good Lord, you're right! It's Kandinsky, Wassily Kandinsky! And who's this here with him? It's Braque, George Braque the Cubist, painting a bird in flight over a cornfield and going very fast down the hill towards Kingston. And Pete Mondrian just behind, Pete Mondrian, the neoplasticist, little gap, then the main bunch. Here they come, Chagall, Max Ernst, Miro, Doofy, Ben Nicholson, Jackson Pollock, and Bernard Buffet making a break on the outside here. Bancuzzi's going with him, so Chirico, Ferdinand Ledger, Delaunay, Ducudi, Kokoschka's stopping back here behind a little bit, so's Paul Clay dropping back a bit, and back at it, right at the back of this group, our very own Kurt Schwitters.
But German.
As yet, absolutely no sign of Pablo Picasso. And so, from Tolworth roundabout, back to the studio.
Well, I think I can help you there, Sam. We're getting reports in from the AA that Picasso has fallen off. He's fallen off his bicycle on the B2127 just outside Ewhurst, trying to get a shortcut through to Dorking via Gomslake and Peasehall. Well, Picasso is reported to be unhurt, but the pig has a slight headache. And on that note, we must say good night to you. Picasso has failed in his first bid for international cycling fame. So from all of us here at the It's the Art Studio, it's good night. Good night.
Hold it.
Sit up. Sit up. Sit up.
Sit up. There's somebody out there.
Huh? Help me! I'm trapped in this body. Oh, please help me out!
Somebody out there.
Reception's ported, sir.
Porker, eh? Shrine.
This man is Ernest Scribbler, writer of jokes. In a few moments, he will have written the funniest joke in the world. And, as a consequence, he will die laughing. It was obvious that this joke was lethal. No one could read it and live.
Struck this little house in Dibley Road. Sudden, violent comedy. Police have sealed off the area, and Scotland Yard's crack inspector is with me now.
I shall enter the house and attempt to remove the joke. I shall be aided by the sound of somber music played on gramophone records and also by the chanting of laments by the men of Q Division. The atmosphere thus created should protect me in the eventuality of me reading the joke.
Well, there goes a brave man. Whether he comes out alive or not, this will surely be remembered as one of the most courageous and gallant acts in police history.
It was not long before the army became interested in the military potential of the killer joke. Under top security, the joke was hurried to a meeting of Allied commanders at the Ministry of War. Were impressed. Tests on Salisbury Plain confirmed the joke's devastating effectiveness at a range of up to 50 yards.
Through the winter of 43, we had translators working in joke-proof conditions to try and produce a German version of the joke. They worked on one word each for greater safety. One of them saw two words of the joke and spent several weeks in hospital. But apart from that, things went pretty quickly. And we soon had the joke by January in a form which our troops couldn't understand, but which the Germans could.
So, on July the 8th, 1944, the joke was first told to the enemy in the Ardennes.
Flip about! Guess what?
Was hat er noch gesagt?
Ja, wie? Was willst du im Bayern?
Was machen?
Ja.
It was a fantastic success, over 60,000 times as powerful as Britain's great pre-war joke, and one which Hitler just couldn't match.
Insbesondere, keine Mehrdahl in Deutschland leben wird. Wir sind des Reiches junge Mannschaft, eure Schule.
In action, it was deadly.
Wenn ich das nur zu... Geht uns schnell mal! Ja, warum?
German casualties were appalling.
What is the big joke?
I can only give you a name, rank, and why did the chicken cross the road?
That's not funny! I want to know the joke!
All right. How do you make a Nazi cross?
I don't know. How do you make a Nazi cross?
Tread on his corn.
God in Himmel! That's not funny! Now, if you don't tell me the joke, I shall hit you properly.
I can stand physical pain, you know.
Ah, you're no fun. All right, Otto!
Oh, no. No, anything but that, please. All right. I'll tell you.
Quick, Otto, the typewriter!
Ben, ist das Nerdstück Get und Slottermeier. Ja, Feierhund das Öder, die Flipperwald, Gashfoot.
That's not funny!
The Germans were working on a joke of their own.
Die ist ein Kinderhunde und zwei Mackerlübe und der Bitteschön ist ein Wunderhaus zwecken sie. Nein, schreckt der Herren, ist auch ein Burger mit zwei Dingen.
We'll let you know.
Hitler gave the order, but by December, their joke was ready, and Hitler gave the order for the German V-joke to be broadcast in English.
There were three peanuts walking down the Strasse, and one was assaulted. Peanut.
In 1945, peace broke out. It was the end of the joke. Joke warfare was banned at a special session of the Geneva Convention, and in 1950, the last remaining copy of the joke was laid to rest here in the Berkshire countryside, never to be told again.
Thank you.
here is the final score. Pigs, 9. British bipeds, 4. The pigs go on to meet Vicky Carr in the final.